Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
My friends, you're welcome once again to the Living Word. I'm Pastor Mensah Otterbill. I know that God loves you and He cares for you. I believe He has a plan for your life and He will help you to discover that plan. When you discover God's plan, your life becomes very joyful and harmonious. We're continuing our teaching on Marriage 101. We're looking at the fundamentals of marriage. And I trust that as you open your heart to God's Word, you will be blessed. We are exploring the differences between male and female. You know, we are not the same, and we look at things slightly differently. And some of those slight differences can become major problems in marriage. So we will look at how men respond to situations and women respond to situations and how we can understand each other so our marriages will be harmonious. We'll go into the message right after this.
And now, today's message.
That is why, for a man, little things like what the wife is wearing may not be very important. And whether she just changed her hairstyle may not be important because it's not big. If your wife came home one day and she was bald, all the hair was gone, pull, you say, yeah, what happened? That one, you will notice it right there. It's big, radical change. What happened? Hey! Why is your hair bald? Or if she was used to wearing long skirts, and then she comes one day wearing a very short one. Hey, what happened? You only see radical things. But the woman wants the little things to be noticed. That's why anytime a woman dresses, she's waiting for the husband to notice. Oh, you got to notice. And woe on you if you don't notice. Because what matters to her is not the same as what matters to you. Two different people. What's important is different. What matters is different. How a man sees problems is different. How a man solves problems is different. And yet they are supposed to live their lives together. That is why marriage is a full-time job. That's why you don't marry and quit after 2 years. Because it's a lifetime job. It's till death do us part. It is only at the time you are dying that you say, finally I understood what this thing is all about. Because you are going to learn and learn and learn and learn and learn. For those of you young people, who are burning with energy. That's why most of you are marrying, you are proposing from the left, the right, the center. You need anybody, you are proposing, and most of you girls are accepting any proposal. You are so eager because you want to have sex. You are bombarded by television. You watch films on television. The man meets the woman and they kiss. And you say, oh God, one day somebody will kiss me. And oh God, oh, it's a nice, sweet feeling. They never told you about the problems. You saw somebody walking with his wife and all the nice things. And you say, oh, that's beautiful. You saw a marriage ceremony, a wedding, a woman wearing white. Starched white. Everything is flying all around her. And she walks this way and it looks so nice. How many of you know that dress is worn for only two or three hours? Afterwards, she has to wear regular dress. You go back home and you wear the normal dress for the rest of your life. So don't look at what a person wore for 3 hours and rush to go and wear it. Because marriage is not for fun. Young men and women think that the only thing they share in marriage is sex. And that's why people are preoccupied. People ask,
Is it all right to have is premarital sex? You know, I mean, since we're married, can't we just do what we have to do? You know, the problem is, if you don't get sex out of the way before you marry, you will never focus on the important things to share. Because any time you meet, you are in bed. You finish, everybody goes home. Next time you meet, you're kissing, you are in bed. So when do you ever sit down to talk? Your eyes are blinded. Your feelings are working very high. No time to get to know the woman. No time to get to know the man. And then one day you marry the woman, or you marry the man, you leave here, you go home, and you say, she's not the woman I married. She's changed. She hasn't changed. She's only been what she was, what you didn't see before, you are now seeing now. And all of you young people who think marriage is all about going to bed with somebody, you will have the shock of your life when you marry. To know that after all is said and done, you can't have sex 24 hours a day. I mean, you will die. Wouldn't you die? Something will happen to you. Solomon had 1,000 women. After he finished, he says, all is vanity. I'm tired. Oh, nothing. That's not what is important. The important thing is whether you are going to learn to understand each other. The question you have to ask yourself is, am I ready to share? Am I a sharing person? When I have something, do I share it? And what are the things you share? Before you even start sharing money and property, you have to share your heart. You have to share your love. You have to share information. You have to learn to converse. I believe it's a matter of priority that every married couple spend time alone to talk. If you can't spend time alone with your spouse, alone, for 6 hours without quarreling, your marriage is in serious trouble. Oh yeah, the quarrels will come. When I married first, every few minutes we talk, I tell my wife, you don't understand me. Then she'll say, you don't also understand me. You don't understand me. You don't understand me. We never understood each other because she was coming from a different point. Now we have grown. We have allowed ourselves to understand and we can talk for a long time. And the more you grow to understand each other, the more you appreciate each other. I can never insult her. Never. Never. I may be angry one day, but I won't insult her. I love her too much. I'm not talking about we are in love because we go and eat dinner and we go and stroll by the beach. My brother, if there's no beach, what are you going to do? You see, if we are not careful, we let the extras become the important. Yes, it's good to eat out in restaurant. It's good to go to the beach. It's good to go for a holiday. But that only becomes significant if you can stay in your room alone. If you can't stay in your room alone, what are you doing at the beach? And that comes because you are ready to share, to talk, to converse, to talk through your problems. Believe you me, there are times that I just feel this woman doesn't understand me. Oh yeah, I used to feel that years ago. She doesn't understand. And who told you she will understand me? We have to learn to understand each other. It's not one person standing in one place and say, you must understand me. That's what most husbands talk. You must understand me. You get what I'm saying? You get it? You must understand me. I'm the head. That's also one thing we have to deal with. This is marriage 101. You have to get the fundamentals right. What does it mean for a man to be the head? There are different kinds of headship. There is the head who is a dictator, who thinks that every wisdom is in his mind. Remember, when God says, for the husband is the head of the wife, he was not speaking in physical terms. He was speaking in metaphorical terms. It was a metaphor. So when the Bible says the husband is the head, it doesn't mean that your wife has no brains. Since you are the head, you are the only one who has brains. You know your wife has brains, and she probably was doing better in school than you. I mean, these days, you go to most schools, the girls are doing better than the boys. In some schools that I know of, the first five are girls. First five. But they will marry these boys who come from sixth. My God. And then one day, this boy who was at the bottom of the class is going to say, I'm the head. Where were you when we were doing mathematics? Where was your headship? Where was your headship? Now, when we say that, when the Bible says that, let's go to Genesis. Go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. Let's get something straight here from Genesis chapter 3. Are you in Genesis chapter 3? From verse 16, this is the curse. This is the curse. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception in pain. You shall bring forth children. Your desire to be shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. Who said that? God. Under what condition did God say that? When man had sinned. Was this a blessing? No, it was a curse. God did not say, your husband will rule over you and that's a blessing. No, he said it as a curse. It was not a blessing. In other words, God did not intend in marriage for a man to rule a woman. But in marriage, there's going to be headship. Just like in every situation, there must be a head. In football teams, there's a captain. It doesn't mean he's the best player. It's just helpful organization. At the home, there is a head because there's husband, there's wife, and there's probably one or two or three or four or five, six, seven, eight, nine, three, 10 children. There has to be somebody who is recognized as the head of this little tribe. And God says, for the avoidance of doubt, you don't go and throw the dice to decide who is the head. Okay, I give that responsibility to you, man. Not because you are the smartest, not because you did the best thing, not because you are the most courageous or the most intelligent, but it's a matter of protocol and understanding that you be the head. You are not a head for your own good. You are a head because you have to be able to help this little group of people in your home to arrive at a consensus. After all is said and done, you summarize the ideas that have been presented and you say, this is the ruling of the family. It's not your ruling, it's the ruling of the family. It's like the chairman of a board. You don't go to your board meeting and say, I'm the chairman. Whatever I say, that's what goes. No. If you go to any board meeting, you see the chairman listens to everybody. Listens to everybody. Listens to everybody. After all is said and done, he says, based on all that we have said, this is what we must do. It is trying to put all the ideas together and help the ideas to become one idea. And that is the responsibility of the man. For a man to be a good head, therefore, he must respect his wife and the children. If a man thinks he's head, and as a result, anything he says is law, the marriage is going to suffer. Men, boys, gentlemen, you are not bullies. You are not kings and rulers of your family. You are not there to make decrees. You have to get this right, man. If you don't get it right, especially as our society grows more and more, where women are getting more and more empowered, you're going to have problems dealing with your wife. Because the women are becoming intelligent, they're becoming smart, enterprising. Sometimes they are earning more money than the men. Sometimes they are more daring. They are learning the same things the men are learning. and sometimes even learning more. If you are a smart head, you will make good use of the expertise of everybody in your team. Because a good leader is one who recognizes the strengths of his team and helps those strengths to be applied to the common good of the team. If your wife's success threatens you, you will not make good use of her strength. On the other hand, you have women who have been under oppression for so long, under bondage for so long, that one day they realize, hey, I'm no longer under bondage. And they take their freedom to the extremity. They are the kind of women who say, if the man is supposed to be the head, and he's not the one paying for the rent, then I will show him where power lies. They go to the other extreme. They also become dictators over the men. The important thing is understanding. You can't understand somebody if you think you are better than the one. Anyone who goes into marriage thinking he's doing the other person a favor is disqualifying himself from enjoying his marriage. Listen to me, men. When you go to marry a woman, you are not doing her a favor. Even if she is 45, and everybody knows she's been struggling to get a husband for a long time, and she finally marries you, you haven't done her a favor. If you marry somebody because you want to help her, forget it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Some men marry women and say, I want to bring her up. Forget it. Go and get a dog to bring up or a chicken to rear. No. You don't marry a woman to bring her up. Because when you marry a woman to bring her up, you will treat her like a small girl, not your co-equal. That's when everything she says irritates you. Because you say, look at this girl. I brought her up. When I saw her, she was nobody. And I had to bring her up. And I had to tell her mother, I want to take your daughter and bring her up. My brother, young man, if you're going to marry, you're not married to bring up anybody. You are marrying because you have found somebody you want to share your life with. Somebody you want to support and somebody you want to honor. That's the basis. If that's not the reason, look for somebody you can respect and honor and marry that person. And you don't marry for sympathy. Most women sometimes marry out of sympathy. They marry somebody and say, the way I see the man, you know, his whole case was very, very sympathetic. If the person needs sympathy, there are people who can give the sympathy. That's why we pastors are there. We'll give them sympathy, encourage them, pray for them. They can go to a hospital. They can go to the psychiatrist to get sympathy or wherever. But they don't marry for sympathy. Because if you marry somebody for sympathy, you think you are doing the person a favor. And most of you women who have been pumped with all kinds of ideas that you are the most beautiful person in the whole world. Some of you walk in, I'm beautiful. Don't you know that every man says that to every woman? Women, don't you know? Haven't you found out by now? Haven't you found out? Every man says that to every woman. They say, oh, you're beautiful. They don't care how you look. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. But most men, when they say you are beautiful, they are just throwing a bait. They want to catch something. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. And then you say, eh, okay, come on. Now, I mean, he knows what he wants. Now, some of you women never get this. So you go around with a false sense of importance. I'm beautiful. I'm beautiful. In fact, sometimes women are married and they will tell their husbands, if I leave you, I'll get 100 men. Leave and see. Leave and see. You'll be dry for a very long time. Lord have mercy. Just because men are attracted to you doesn't mean they want to marry you. And just because men know how to give words to you doesn't mean they want to marry you. See, the problem of men is their eyes. If they become blind, they'll be okay. It's what they see. Once the thing works, I mean, hey, everything has been activated. Now, that's the problem of men. The problem of women is their ear. The men have an eye problem. The women have an ear problem. The women are waiting. Ah, you are beautiful. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm beautiful. So, you grow, and the more you hear these things, and by the way, every woman will hear a proposal from between the age of 16 to the age of about 24, you'll probably hear about 1,000 proposals. So it's normal. That doesn't mean you are extraordinary. You're just a normal woman. Don't get flattered. Now, if you allow all that to go into your head, and finally you meet a nice, humble brother, and you marry him, you may think you've done him a favor. Do you know the people who wanted to marry me? They wanted to. Did they? Ladies, did they? You talk to any woman, he'll tell you, do you know the men who wanted, why didn't they marry you? And they will go ahead, and some of them, big, big people, do you know people who wanted to marry me? And then you came along, and I looked to God, and I married you. Now once you get that in your head, I look to God, I look to the face of God, and I said, okay, I will accept. Once you make that your mind, you think you have done a favor to the man you married. And once you think you've done a favor to the man, you will look down on. Well, I trust that God has spoken to you. Anytime you hear God's word, there is a responsibility for you to learn, to know, to understand, and to be a doer of God's word. It's not profitable for you just to be entertained by the word of God. You must seek to apply it to your life. It is in the application that the blessing and the benefit is received. So for all that you've heard, if you don't purpose in your heart to start the process of application, what you've heard will not bless you. But I trust that as you apply God's word, His spirit, His power, His wisdom, His glory will be behind His word, and you will begin to experience victory in your marriage. I'm Pastor Mensah Otabel. Shalom, peace, and life to you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 2676 7655 +233 2676 7655 or send an email to info@godswordforus.com info@godswordforus.com